How many people have your Bible today? If you have your Bible, stand up. Raise it in the air. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. You may be seated, please. Turn, if you will, to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. When you find your place, say, I have it. Verse 18 and 19. Read this with me, please. For the preaching of the cross, the preaching of what?
Cross.
Is to them that perish. To them that what?
Perish.
For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Amen. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. I want to talk about this word perish today. And I want it to be the theme of our message. You know, sometimes you get moved to a message just by the little things that God puts in your mind, in your everyday track in life. And you know, today I see people in a hurry. Never has there been a time in our life to where we have fast food. People are in a hurry. We're always running out of time to do what we need to do. Everybody, we developed this word years ago. We didn't even have this word when I was growing up called stress, but all of a sudden it became so stressful to live. And I listened the other day to an interview of some college students, and they've been indoctrinated into the world of stress to where, yes, listen, sometimes life gets hard, but I listen to them talk about how stressful it is to live in life, right? But every time I heard them say something, the last word of everything they said was drug out. So they said stressful. Everything in life is stressful, right? So they're stressed. Why? Because they don't have enough time to do what they need to do. So everything is just pushed to the point. We need to go here. We need to go there. And so I'm driving down the road, and I see this refrigerated truck beside of me. And the refrigerated truck had this word on it, perishable. You know what they were doing? They were in a hurry to get that food from where it was going, or from where it came from to where it was going. And that's just like we are, right? We live this life, and we live it under this indoctrination, which is true. Hey, life is perishable, and so we need to use it up. Even the theme that life is preaching today to the next generation is life is short. Hey, use life. Get out of it what you can today, right? Why? Because life is perishable. But Paul identified two different categories here. He said, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. So for those people that are in a hurry, they are going from here to there, and they don't have enough time, and I can't get this done, and I can't get this done. They're really not living with a peace in their life. Everything's always just this issue. And man, I'm working all the time, and I'm tired. I'm trying to get here. And listen, I'm never in a good attitude because I've always got this to do, and this is on my plate. They don't have any peace. But listen, to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ, listen, that doesn't fit into my plan, and I can't accept that. To them that perish, that think, hey, listen, I've got this limited time to live right here, and so I need to live and accomplish all these things that I want to accomplish. To them that perish, it's foolishness. But the cross to them that are saved is the power of God.
Amen.
Hey, there's some meat in here. I've been excited to preach this all week long. Listen, what Paul is saying is that for someone to preach about the significance of Jesus dying on the cross as a sacrifice for the sins of men is foolishness for someone who, through their own intellect and reasoning, believe that they don't need to be saved from their sin. The preaching of the importance of the cross is foolishness to the person who believes there is no God, and to the person who believes in some other God besides the Lord God, Jehovah, Yahweh. The preaching of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ is foolishness to the person that believes that they can earn their way to God by doing good works. These people believe in God, but they think they're saved by their own righteousness instead of the righteousness of Jesus and the sacrifice of His righteous life to pay the penalty of our sin. The preaching of the cross is foolishness to the person that believes that we're given this life to live for our own pleasure and satisfaction, that there's no life after this life. It's foolishness to them. The preaching of the cross is foolishness to the person that believes that they're too intellectual to accept something by faith that can't be seen. And there's a lot of those people out there. The preaching of the cross is foolishness to the person that believes that everything has to be proven by science and logic. See, faith means believing something without the science and logic and the sight of something. Science and logic are man's way to explain how and why things happen. And when a person says they only accept and believe something that can be proven to them by satisfying their own intellect, then that person is saying that their own wisdom and intellect is so superior that in order for something to be considered valid, it has to agree with their own intellect. Do you get that? Definition of foolishness. I took the liberty of looking this up. It's void of understanding or sound judgment, weak in intellect, unwise, imprudent. Notice Paul divides those that hear the message of the importance of Jesus dying on the cross into two categories. He says in verse 18 that the preaching of the importance of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ is to them that perish what? Tell me again. To them that perish, it's what? But to them that are saved by it, it is the power of God. Now listen to these two kinds of people. Those that perish and those that are saved. Those that perish are those that refuse to believe something that doesn't match their own intellect. And those that are saved are those that have believed that the crucifixion of Jesus Christ is what makes it possible for them to come into fellowship with God and have their sins forgiven so that they can come into fellowship with a holy and righteous God that can have nothing to do with sin. So let me stop and explain here a minute. You realize the God that we're talking about, the one and only true living God, is a holy and righteous God. He can have nothing to do with sin. And you realize the Bible tells us that all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Has everyone in here, just to make sure that I'm preaching to an audience that can understand, has everybody in here sinned before?
That's
right. We've sinned. And you have a sin nature. And so that sin separates you from a holy and righteous God. We can't come to God. He's not just this figure that says, okay, just come on and I'll look over that. No, we can't come into His presence with the sin because God can have nothing to do with sin. But He wants us to come into His presence. So He made a way for us to come to Him and be able to remove that block between us. And the way that He made, well, His name is Jesus Christ. Jesus became the way, the truth, and the life. The only way to come to God. Why? Because Jesus Christ, who never sinned, became the only human being that could ever sacrifice His life for the forgiveness of sins. Well, why did somebody have to die? Because God implemented a system called the blood covenant, which meant that in order to make peace between Him and us, there needed to be a sacrificial blood offering of the most perfect thing that you had. But there's no perfect man except one. And God sent Him. He never sinned. So He offered His body as a sacrifice on the cross. Now, it's not just believing that that happened. You may be here today and believe that there's a God and believe that Jesus Christ, I believe 2,000 years ago, He died on the cross. You can believe both of those things and still not be connected to God. You could still die and go to hell after you die. You say, I can't believe it. Listen, understand something. Believing in it and believing on it are two different things. When He says you have to take it and believe it, He's saying you have to take it and use it. Live by your belief. That means that you could believe there's a God. And there's a lot of denominations and religions that believe there's a God. But understand, you have to understand that, as Paul said, to be saved by it means that you have to use it to be able to deliver you from perishing. You have to actually take it and say, God, I want to use the sacrifice of Jesus. Well, what does that take? Can't I just come to church and hear about it and nod my head? No, the Bible says there has to be a time in your life when you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. It says clearly, then you shall be saved. It is not because my mom and dad are saved. It's not because I belong to this church. It's not because I've done good enough. It's not because I think that I'm a pretty good person and God's a God of love and He would never condemn somebody. No. It's that I've believed, I've taken it. And there's been a time when I said, hey, I'm lost without you. I'm separated from you by my sin. I want to use what Jesus did to forgive me of my sins. That's called being saved, or the prayer of salvation. You're acknowledging who God is. You're acknowledging by belief, you believe who Jesus is. And then you're telling him who you are. God, I've sinned. Now, I want to use what Jesus did to forgive me of my sins. I want that salvation. When that happens, you become saved. Saved from what? Saved from perishing. Now, I want you to understand those that are saved are those that believe that God showed his power to save us from the penalty of our sin by sending Jesus to die for us as a substitutionary sacrifice, because we can't sacrifice ourselves. I think there's something interesting here that we often overlook, the significance of this word perish. So to perish, and get this now, to perish by definition is to expire. Have you ever heard someone that passed away and they came through and they said, listen, they expired about 4 o'clock today. Yeah. But we use the same word to talk about our milk in the refrigerator, right? That milk was good. Well, how do you know there's a date on it? No, smell it. No, I'm never going to be the one that smells it. I'll look at a date, and if that date says that it expires on a certain day, I'm going to pour it down the sink, man. It won't be me. I'm not taking a chance. Why? It expired. It lost the goodness and usability of its life. The food that was on the way from that place to that place that was in that refrigerated truck, it was perishable, meaning that if it doesn't get there in the proper time, it is going to expire of good use. Are you with me? Those that perish are those that are living now, but are actually in the process of being destroyed. To perish, another definition, is to die or to be destroyed. Now, to be saved is to be saved from being destroyed, to be saved from perishing. And everyone listening today has been given physical life. But as soon as the process of life begins, do you realize the process of death begins? So God shows his power to save us while we live in this physical life from facing eternal death by keeping our life from expiring. Hear today about the child that was born yesterday. The child that was born yesterday, they're celebrating life. I believe yesterday, right around 3 o'clock or so, that child began to expire. Oh, don't bring us down. Don't bring us down. Let's talk about that child beginning to live. No different than this. It began to expire. When did it begin to expire? When it first came out of that tree. It began to expire. What about you and I? Same way. We live in a body that's made of dirt. It's made of atomic matter. The first man was made of dirt. God breathed into that man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the body, well, the body, once sin comes into the body begins to expire. You say, well, sin hasn't come into that child. I'll bet that child lies, that new child lies before it reaches its first month. You say, what do you mean? It won't have something that it wants, and it cries when it's not hurt. It's lying. Oh, don't say that baby is lying. You tell me what he's doing. It's playing you. You run in there and do it. All of a sudden, not crying, right? Why? It's lying. It's in his nature. It's in her nature. That's what they do. That's what we do. And so we have in our nature. And because of that, we begin to die. We have a lifespan. But that breath of life, remember, God made man out of the dust of the earth and breathed in him the breath of life. Man became a living soul. The breath of God, well, it never actually goes away. The body can die, but that breath is the soul of man. And man has the opportunity, while they live in this physical life, to give their soul to the belief that Jesus Christ can bring them into fellowship with God and save them by confessing that they're a sin, and that soul can live forever, right now and forever, with God. But if they refuse that, that soul will live forever without God. But the soul, well, it's never going to go away. You see, to the person that perishes, they're gradually dying on an everyday basis physically. But because they refuse the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ by thinking it is foolishness, they actually continue to die after they die. So what do you mean? They continue to face spiritual death after physical death. Well, what is spiritual death? Spiritual death is separation from God. Life is when the breath of God comes back to God. Death is when the breath of God stays away from God. Does that make sense? So, the physical body of a person can only live for a limited time, but the soul of a person will always live. It either lives with God on this earth in fellowship with God because we've accepted and believed that Jesus gave his life for us, and by dying for our sins, we live forever through him. In this, they continue to live with God after they stop living physically here on this earth. How many people know someone who've accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, but they passed away in this life, and you know they're living still today in heaven, right? So our hope is in that. Or for the person that doesn't, the soul lives in that person that refuses to believe because they think that the death of Jesus Christ on the cross is foolishness and has no significance. Their soul lives while they're physically alive, but they're actually dead spiritually because they're separated from fellowship with God. And after they die physically, their soul continues to live in hell, which God calls eternal death because it's eternal separation from God because they never accepted the forgiveness that God, through Jesus Christ, offered in the sacrifice for our sins on the cross. So, in saying that, what Paul is saying, when you see the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that perish, but to them that are saved, it's the power of God. Paul is saying that the cross is the difference in those that perish and those that are non-perishable. Amen. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, please. Now, I want you to listen to this praise. Sometimes as Christians, we go through life almost in some sort of mood that says, hey, listen, this is going wrong, that is going wrong. Listen, we forget the most amazing fact about our salvation. It makes us non-perishable. Have you thought about that today? You see, we don't think about it. You know what we think about? Hey, this is hurting on me, or what if the doctor says this, or what if I don't have money to do this, or what if I can't do this? All those things have to do with our own perishability. Do you realize that? The lack of peace that we have on an everyday basis has to do with our fears of our own perishability. What's going to happen to us or someone that we love? What's going to happen to them? What about this physical life? What about this thing? Don't we? Aren't we all tied up in that? That is our ultimate fear, and we fail to praise God. You see, our joy is not complete because we're not thinking about the non-perishable gift that he gave us, which means I'm never going to die. I might die physically right here. That's when I begin to live. You can cry because you'll miss me. I'll miss you too, but God's plan is to put us together forever, right? So I would rather be able to stand up here for several hours on a Sunday, and not all at one time, but for several hours on a Sunday, and try to let you see that God gives you the ability to become non-perishable than to sit around moping because something might be wrong with me. We give away the victory. We walk around kicking our can through life because this has happened. Glory to God, he's made us non-perishable. And the Bible tells us, listen to Paul's rant here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He talks about it. He says, hey, listen, we're all made of dirt. He says, but for the saved person, for we have this treasure in earthen vessels. You know what an earthen vessel is? A clay pot. You know what you are? You're a clay pot. You're made of dirt. I'm made of dirt. But we're a vessel that he formed out of what? Dirt. For we have this treasure. What is the treasure? The salvation of Jesus Christ, the gift of salvation, the power of God. We have it in earthen vessels. And I think we don't consider that this outside is just a vessel sometimes. We put a lot of importance on it, don't we? It becomes our sense of worry. It becomes our sense of concern. What we forget about is the treasure that's inside of it, right? Listen to what Paul says. Paul says in verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power, there's the word again, may be of God and not of us. Now listen, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Now listen to this. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Now get this. Cast down, but not destroyed. My soul's invincible. It's non-perishable. Why? Because of something I've done? No. He says we have this that's excellent in the power of God, right? So what Paul is saying back in this other thing, listen, you've heard this short verse before, but what Paul is saying is, listen, for the saved person, that person that perishes foolishly, for the saved person, well, the cross is the power of God. It's the thing that I can walk around with when this hurts and that hurts and this hurts and this isn't going right and that ain't going right. What have I got? I've got this excellency. Amen. I've got this treasure in this earthen vessel that I can be excited about. Why? Because it's the power of God. No matter what happens to this body, this life that may expire, I am non-perishable. Why? Through the cross, because I accepted the cross of Jesus Christ. Why? Because I'm better? No, because I wasn't good. And what did God do? He said, I'm going to take everything that you've ever done, and I'm going to put it as far as the east is from the west to remember it against you. No more. Why? Why? Because I love you, and I loved you before you ever did a thing to me. You know, we were told by Paul in Romans 5:8 that God showed his love to us and that while we were sinners, Christ died for us before we ever did a thing for him. He made us have the availability to accept the cross before we ever did anything for him. Now, cast down but not destroyed. Where were we? Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. On the what? What did he die on? Always bearing about the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Hey, talk about non-perishable. Have you ever seen this in here? Because I haven't. God put it all together for me, and I'm thinking to myself, listen, I'm just looking at a truck going down the road that says non-perishable, and then boom, 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 what happens? Listen, I've got the glory of God. I've got six problems on my mind that don't matter anymore because, glory to God, I'm non-perishable. You can cast me down, but you can't destroy me. I can be perplexed, but not in despair. Right? Why? Because I've got the excellency of this treasure in me. Now, verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day, day by day, day by day, every day. I'm made new. And all I have to do is get in the presence of God. and I'm made new. Don was speaking about, hey, listen, he came up and said a little something about Wednesday night. You know what he's trying to say? He said, these people came in here and got renewed Wednesday night. You know why? Because Monday and Tuesday are tough. Monday and Tuesday are tough. So what I came in and got my expiration date backed up, right? Backed up. No, it's non-perishable. I came in the presence of God, heard God speak, and got renewed. Amen? So that's why he tells us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Why? Because we need it. There's so many times people say, well, I would come, but I'm too tired. That's when you need to come. I would come, but I've got so many things going on. That's when you need to come.
Right.
I didn't realize that for years, but that's the renewal, is being in the presence of God.
Amen.
Why? Because if I stay in my own perishable mind, I'll get in this funk that lets me see all the negative things about the time span that I have on life, the time span that I have on a day. Is this making sense? And so I live with that overwhelming sense that that truck had. Let me get to the place I need to go. It's in a hurry. Let me refrigerate this so that we can get here. Let me do this. I'm thinking about it at night. Listen, no, I'm in a bad mood. I can't be happy because I've got this going on and that going on and this going on. How many people do you know like that? How many of us are like that? We take the day that God's given us to live in, this glorious praise that he's made us non-perishable, and we live like those that are perishing. I take you to one of the most common verses we know. John 3:16. I had these kids say it. And these kids, they even know it. Something funny about this verse, and I took the time to look it up because I was intrigued by this, and sometimes I get on this little mental journey here where something intrigues me, and so this verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not, say it with me,
perish.
Say it again,
perish.
But have everlasting life. Probably the most famous verse. Do you know, in all this time, and sometimes I take a little flack, you know, I preach out of the King James Version. It's not the popular version that all the contemporaries are doing today. And I'm not one of those people that say you're going to die and go to hell if you don't preach out of it, because I know that even it's a translation. I'm not here to have this debate on that, but I love the language of it. But I take heat sometimes because, hey, listen, it's hard to understand or it's not this, but God does tell you to study, to show yourself approved unto God. And listen, if it was in Chinese, God could translate it and make you know what it said. So listen, I preach out it because that's what I've learned the verses out of. It's sweet to me. The language is sweet to me. I grew up learning, and I'll continue to preach on it even if you think I'm obsolete. But get this. Here's the point. Understand this, all right? Understand it. Do you realize that in all the versions I looked up, it doesn't matter which version it is, do you realize, now surely today we can come up with a more contemporary word than perish. All the versions have that word. I went through and looked and looked and looked. Oh, they've changed all the other kind of things around, but they all say perish. You can't have another word put in there. And listen, these young people have no idea what perishing means, right? That would be like an old word. But the importance of this word perish, there's not another word like it. It means to expire. It means this gradual thing from this to this. You see this? Now, you don't want to think about it, and I don't want to think about it. But this is happening to you. You say, don't bring me down. I'll just celebrate another birthday. No, I'm trying to raise you up. You need to celebrate your birthdays and praise God because God gave you another year to be in this. Outside, you're perishing. If you're a child of God, inside, you're being renewed day by day, day by day. And do you know what? Another thing about this, the rougher you are on this thing, the worse it looks. You know what I mean? You don't handle, oh, we've got it. Hey, put it like this, hold it like this, wrap it in tinfoil, put it here. We've got this banana saver. Hey, put it with an apple. Do how many, oh, it just broke. Look, the stem just broke. Why? It's perishable. It's perishable. Eat it. Eat it quick. Eat it quick. I've told you. I'm so sure the Lord's coming back, I don't even want to buy green bananas anymore. A person's perishability was the subject of Jesus, his discussion with Nicodemus in John 3. He began in John chapter 3. Turn to John chapter 3. He began in verse 15. We don't talk about verse 15 much, but he began in verse 15 and he said that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Can I translate that for you? Whosoever believeth in him should not perish but will become non-perishable. Amen. Then we see that the reason, now listen to the word, go through the scripture. The reason, you see, we look at this as, listen, this is God's little verses of love, for God so loved the world. We love the world through Jesus Christ. If you stop at just that God loves you, you'll never get to him. You have to start there because that's what makes God God. He loved us in spite of who he is. But it says he loved us, and his thing is to keep us from perishing. He so loved us that he gave his only begotten son. Next verse explains it. He gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believeth in him should not what?
Perish.
But have eternal life, should become non-perishable. Look at verse 17. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world. Now here's our other word that Paul used. But that the world through him might be saved. Remember what he said? To them that perish is foolishness. To them that are saved, it is the power of God.
Amen.
Now, look at verse 18. You don't ever see this on a sign. It says, he that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Can I show you exactly what he's trying to say? He that believeth is not condemned. He that believes is not condemned to perish. But he that believeth not, and this is the most simple demonstration, is condemned already because they begin to perish as soon as they were born. Is that not the most simple explanation? He that believes has stopped the perishing process and has become non-perishable. Listen, I got a couple of people in the congregation now that have spent most of their life in the produce business. They know all about perishability, right? This is a big deal. This explains verse 18. You accept the Lord Jesus Christ and you're not condemned. Perishing stops. But for that person who has not accepted Jesus Christ, you are not given salvation just because you were born. You've been condemned already to perish. A person's lack of belief condemns them to eternal death and will continue to destroy them or cause them to perish in a state of eternal separation from God in this world while they're physically living. But after that, they would have to live in hell after they physically die. Well, where is hell? What is hell? Listen, you don't need to think about all the descriptions. Hell's a place of fire. It's a place of, no, hell is a place of eternal separation from God. That's the hell. That's how he describes hell, a place where there is no hope of ever being with God. But a person who accepts by belief that Jesus is the Son of God sent to this world to die for their sins, and they use that power of the sacrifice of Jesus to forgive their sins, that person will be born again spiritually and have a life here on this earth, being in fellowship with God, that will continue on into the eternal life. What Jesus is saying is that we're all subject to perish because we're all perishable. But if you accept God's salvation through Him, then God uses His power to make you non-perishable. Paul said it in so many verses in the Bible. Well, let's think about some. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is what? But the gift of God is non-perishability. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. What did Jesus do? He died where? So to the ones that are saved, the cross is significant. Amen. To those that perish, it's foolishness. The wages, the reward for not accepting Jesus Christ and His death on the cross because you see it as foolishness, the wages is death, eternal death. But the gift of God that we recognize, the power of God to save us through the cross of Jesus, if that's happening, we have eternal life to make us non-perishable. The cross can make you non-perishable. When Jesus was speaking in Matthew 25, and He was talking about the judgment that's to come. Understand, we all have to stand in front of Jesus Christ Himself, the righteous judge, and be judged. You might judge yourself today. And each one of you that are here, you have to judge yourself. You'll be called to judge yourself today. While I'm standing speaking to you and saying, hey, listen, have you ever, you might have believed in God. You might have accepted that God exists. And you might have accepted that Jesus died as a historical fact on the cross. But have you ever ask God to save you? Have you ever prayed that prayer of forgiveness and said, God, I'm a sinner. I'm separated from you by my sin. But listen, I believe that you love me. I believe Jesus died for me. And I want to ask Jesus to forgive my sins. I want to ask Jesus to come into my heart. I want Him to be my Savior. I want to use the cross and what He did on the cross, that altar that he died on. I want to use that to forgive my sins. God, please save me. You're going to be here today. And you're going to have to judge yourself during this sermon or after the sermon to say, am I saved? But do you realize that Jesus will judge you one day? For all the people that say, well, I think I've been good enough. I hope I've been good enough. I want to answer that question. None of us have been good enough. There's not enough good that we could do that takes away our sin. But praise God, He was good enough. Jesus was good enough, right? Amen. So we used Him. We used His sacrifice. But you have to judge yourself. One day you'll stand in front of Jesus. He gives us this picture in Matthew chapter 25 of judging. And I've preached before. He talks about the sheep and the goats and how He divides and He judges. And He says in verse 46, He says, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. We see those that are saved here, and we see those that are perishing. And understand, there is none of us that are righteous enough to be saved. Now, those that believe are given eternal life and saved from perishing, but those that refuse to believe and accept Jesus on the cross are going to continue to die, or in other words, continue to what? What's our word? And this is the security that a believer can live with. It's the promise of salvation and the surety that we'll continually live in fellowship with God in this life for all of eternity. And I love what Jesus said. Glory to God, brother. You know what Jesus said? He said, all sheep, they hear my voice. And I know them. And they follow me. Hold on. And I give them eternal life. What did He have to offer? Are you His sheep? Are you following Him? Oh no, I'm not saying have knowledge of Him. You can know that there's a God and know that Jesus died on the cross and be lost and go to hell. You say, how do you know? Well, the Bible tells us in James chapter 2 that the devil even believes that. So you're right there with him. What you have to do is use it. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they, hold on, this is John 10:27. My sheep They know my voice. They hear me. They follow me. And I will give them eternal life. Now listen to the last part. And they shall never, verse 27, perish. That's the caveat, guys.
Amen.
They shall never what?
Perish.
Glory to God. Tell me, I've had some things going wrong in my life, but guess what? My life as a whole can't go wrong because I will never, ever perish. I have no expiration date. Though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. Listen, I can go and he can tell me something bad and I want to hear good news about the outside.
Right.
Why? Well, because the inevitable is the outside has got an expiration date. But I can live with the imperishability that Jesus Christ has given me by the cross. So for the cross, it's the power of God that I can walk around with. Christian, stop kicking your can through life, disgusted with every little thing and stressed out for the world, seeing you for this hadn't gone right, and that hadn't gone right, and I don't know what I'm going to do, and life ain't any good. Glory to God, you've been given imperishability by Jesus Christ and the cross. Let that power be seen to somebody. Somebody else will want it. In this life, we're going to face tribulation, is what Jesus said. But you know what he said? I've overcome this world. What do you mean? He's imperishable. I accepted him, so I'm imperishable. Paul had that same kind of attitude. Things that hurt him, he praised God for it. This man said, I consider it a privilege to be persecuted for Christ. This man said, though my outward flesh is going, dying day by day, inwardly, I'm being renewed. This man said, no matter what happens, Lord, your grace is sufficient for me. When I'm weak, your strength is proved. Paul had it right, didn't he?
Amen.
Glory to God for eternal security. He goes on to say, and this is talking about us here. If you can't get excited about this voice, this verse, something's wrong with you. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Now listen, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. You know how big that is? He's saying, your imperishability is doubly secured. I remember I gave this example back in church. I know it's been a long time ago. Ben was just a little fella. And he came up and I said, hey, listen, this is my son. And I put something in his hand. And he closed his hand around it. Now, nobody could get it. Whoever it was, and I forget, was trying to get it out of his hand. And he was squirreling and squirming, but you couldn't get it out of his hand. But then I put my big hand over his little hand. And the father had his hand over the son's hand. So not only could you get it out of the little son's hand, you couldn't get it out of the father's hand. And that's what God is telling us here. And Jesus is saying, I've got you right in my hand. Nobody can get you out. And if that's not good enough for you, God himself put his hand, my father put his hand right over my hand. You can't be lost. You can't. Praise God for his eternal security. He said, I've got you. You can't perish. I don't care what's going on with you in life that wants to get you down. You have non-perishability. You have no expiration date. You're going to live forever. That God so loved you, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth and accepts him should not perish. Even though your outward man perish, your inward man, since it's in me and since it's in my Father, is going to be renewed day by day. So wipe that frown off your face. Quit kicking your can down this proverbial road of life, being stressed out about everything that happens in a day. Your job is temporary. Your finances are temporary. Your physical well-being is temporary. Your relationships are temporary. But you are imperishable through God Almighty and through his Son, Jesus Christ. And he made it possible on the cross. If that isn't something to praise God about, you'll stand in front of God in judgment while you had that scowl on your face worried through this life when he gave you the gift of imperishability. Now, if you're not certain you've accepted the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you just know God, right now, your heart should be doing flip-flops. Why? Because you are perishable. This is the promise of God declared by Jesus himself, not just that I will save you from perishing, but I will eternally save you and keep you from ever perishing. This is how God shows his power. Remember how Paul said that the preaching of the cross was foolishness to them that perish, but unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. God shows us his power, not just by saving us, but by keeping us saved.
Amen.
So I have a lot of discussions with people that think that, listen, I've done this, and so because I've done this, I don't think I'm saved anymore. Listen, if that was the case, we'd need to get saved every day. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ died for us once and for all. We don't have to keep coming back to the altar. That when he did this and we accept him, he tells us he's kept us by that power of salvation. We might let him down, but he will never let us down. Remember how Paul said the preaching was foolishness for somebody that can't see that. To them, it just doesn't make any sense. But the power of God is that he can keep us from ever perishing. And the power of God is the promise of God and his ability to keep his promise. Through the cross, we become non-perishable. You know, Jesus promises us that if we accept his cross, use his sacrifice to cover our sins, we're not only acknowledging what Jesus did, we're acknowledging the power of God to do it. And on the adverse, the Bible says in 1 John 2, whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. In verse 25, he said, and this is the promise that he hath promised us, the promise. You know what the promise is? It's pretty short. Eternal life.
Amen.
Anytime you see eternal life in the Bible, it means non-perishability.
Amen.
I want to close with something that I think is pretty neat. You realize in this whole thing, Paul divided these people into two categories. Those that are perishing and those that are saved. Those that are perishing and those that are saved. Those that are perishing think it's foolishness, so they don't believe. Those that are saved are those that believed in the power of God to save them, in the power of Jesus Christ's crucifixion. They believed in the cross. The cross, the cross. We're beginning to get up to Easter, and I want you to understand this before we start talking about anything on the cross, because I could preach every message on the cross, or you could read stuff about the cross, but if you don't understand the significance, and today when you leave here, you should understand the significance
Amen.
Of the cross.
Amen.
You see, it's odd that Jesus would make this statement. Not odd, but in Luke chapter 12, I want to read this to you. Excuse me, it's John chapter 12. The Bible says, this is Jesus' words. He says, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, we have heard the law of Christ abideth forever. How sayest thou the Son of Man shall be lifted up? Who's the Son of Man? Now, what was Jesus talking about? It says here, he's signifying what kind of death he should die on the cross. You see, the cross, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ had to happen on the cross. It had to be the altar that was used. It wasn't just a regular altar. This is the significance of the cross. You see, Jesus was lifted up on the cross for every person to see the crucifixion. Why? Well, when they had a crucifixion, by Roman law, they were crucified in public. It would draw people. Who was the center of attention? The person that was what?
Crucified
on a cross. All men will have a chance to come. God uses the cross as a means to bring all people to him, but all that are drawn are not going to use the cross. Some will think it's foolishness. Today, you came to hear the word of God. What did you hear about? You heard about the cross. Today, you're drawn to Jesus because He was on that cross, and that cross is what gives you non-perishability. It's what brings you into the presence of God. But you can reject it because you think, not now, it's not good for me, and it will be classified as foolishness to you. You see, the cross brings us to God. It shows us the only way to get to God. And Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, remember? But in Luke chapter 12, which is what I want to end with, Jesus made a statement that's untypical. We don't want to hear him say this statement because we like to paint Jesus a different way. But he was basically saying what Paul was talking about. You have two groups of people. You have those that perish and those that are what? Saved. Jesus said in Luke 12, verse 15 through 53, he basically was talking about his crucifixion. In verse 51, he said, suppose you that I am come to give peace on earth. He said, I tell you, nay, rather division. Suppose you that I've come to give peace on earth, but I tell you, I haven't come to give peace on earth. I've come to give division. What is he talking about? He came to give division? Jesus came to give division? Yes. What do you mean the division? Well, you got two groups of people. Without Jesus, there's no choice. With Jesus, a choice divides. How many people want to go here? How many people want to go here? How many people want to believe? How many people don't want to believe? When he went to the cross, Jesus Christ presented division. Those that believe and are saved have believed on the power of God. Those that thought it was foolishness, they will perish. You see the two divisions here? And that's what he's talking about. And I began to look at this picture of the cross and the significance. Why the cross? Why the cross? Think about it. Jesus Christ hung on that cross. You know what a cross looks like? You got a vertical piece and you got a horizontal piece, right? Jesus hung on that cross. And for us to get to God, we have to accept it as the power of God. That this man, Jesus, we can go through him. His feet pointed to us. His head pointed to God. The vertical part takes us of that cross straight to God. But we have to come through who? Jesus. And have to come through him where? On the what? On the cross. But for those that think it's foolishness, that horizontal part, well, that's the division. For those that do not accept me, you can't get to God. For those that do accept me, you can get there. For those that think it's foolishness, you're going to perish right where you're at, right? You're going to perish right where you're at. For those that want to get to God, you're going to God. And listen, you're given non-perishability through me, eternal life. But for those that don't, so where are you? What have you done with the cross? Is the preaching of the cross foolishness to you? Oh, you would never say it. But if you haven't accepted the cross and asked the Lord Jesus to save you and confessed your sin, you've classified it as foolishness. And you would be one that perishes. You're no differently deserving, no different in nature than one that hasn't. But the person who has believed in the power of God, they go through Jesus, they've come through the cross. They're on their way to God now while they live in this vessel that has began to perish since it became new. But do you realize, even though the outward perish, the inward is always, always going to live. Where? With Jesus Christ. Where are you at today? If you're lost, you can change that today. You come up with this invitation. Let's pray together. Don't make another day go by at living in that state of where you don't know. I want to pray with you. You can accept the Lord Jesus Christ today as your Savior. I've been praying for somebody to get saved today, whether it's here, whether it's on the radio program, whether it's on the podcast. Somebody listening today is saved. Amen. But Christian, are you seeing the power of God that He's putting in you? If you see it today, but it hasn't been seen, listen, come and talk to Him. Tell them you realize the powers of imperishability that you get through Jesus Christ. Walk out of here in victory. Walk out of here charged up. Walk out of here on fire to go and serve God today and realize nothing can happen to you. You can be cast down but never destroyed. Father God, I love you. I praise you. I thank you for meeting with us today. I thank you, God, for your message, for your voice. Lord, we've seen the power of the cross today. I pray, God, if there's someone here that's lost, they would see their need for salvation. Lord, for all those here that are saved, that are not perishing, Lord, but we get caught up in life, living a life like we're going to perish. Lord, forgive us. And as my brothers and sisters come to you today, God, I pray that you would just rekindle your relationship within them, that they rededicate their purpose to you in Jesus' name. Amen.